like to call the mayor and council Tuesday, January 17th, public hearing and workshop to order. We have Pledge of Allegiance on here. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, can I have a motion to open the public hearing for resolution number 2022-01, a resolution of the mayor and council of Federalsburg amending Article 4 and Article 5 of the Federalsburg Town Charter and amend the process for appointing certain employees. Is that supposed to be 2023?
I think it was introduced as 2022.
Which was in December, right? Okay. Okay, I just want to double check.
I make a motion we open the public hearing for resolution number 2022-01.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, we're at the point for public comment for resolution number 2022-01. If anybody has any comments for resolution 2022-01, you can raise your hand online or step up to the podium. All right, hearing none, can I have a motion to close the public hearing?
I make a motion to close the public hearing on resolution number 2022-01.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next we have regular public comment. So if anybody would like to speak, you can raise your hand online or you can step up to the podium. All right. Next, we have action on resolution number 2022-01, a resolution of the mayor and council of Federalsburg amending Article 4 and Article 5 of the Federalsburg Town Charter to amend the process for appointing certain employees. Is there any other discussion? Okay, can I have a motion to adopt resolution number 2022-01?
I make a motion that we adopt resolution number 2022-01.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, next we have the Federalsburg Town Comprehensive Financial Review Report. Jen Dierkison from Davenport & Company. You can step up to the microphone, please.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me. I'm Jennifer Dierkison with Davenport & Company. The plan is to go through an executive summary of a comprehensive financial review that we put together for the town. We worked with staff to put this together and really just wanted to look at the financial health of the town's general fund and water and sewer fund and look at, you know, current policies as well as current debt position as well. So if we turn to slide 3 of the executive summary presentation, this is a summary of our findings in terms of the general fund. So when looking at the general fund, first of all, the fund balance is an accumulation of surpluses that have been built over a period of time, and it's a finite resource. And really, a local government's reserve position is really one of the most important metrics that we can look at, because having a well-funded reserve gives a local government a financial flexibility to offset any sort of downturn that might happen or other one-time event that might pop up. And once reserves are exhausted, you know, the town would have to rely on external funding mechanisms to meet operations, which is not ideal. So when looking at the general fund, the town's available general fund balance has declined about 18.5% over the last 5 years. It's currently about 11% of general fund expenditures as of fiscal 21. And really, the reason for this reduction is primarily due to unbudgeted transfers that the general fund has had to make to support the water and sewer fund in 2020 and 2021. In addition, the town has a reserve policy to maintain about 15% of general fund, of reserves as a percentage of general fund expenditures. And currently, when you look at the chart on page 3, you can see that the town is actually under this policy for 3 of the last 5 years. In addition, if you look at what the industry standard is for local governments for a reserve position, it's typically 2 months of operating expenditures, which would actually be 17%, so about 2% above where your current policy is. And so you can see that on this chart, you're below not only your policy, but also the industry standard, which limits, you know, the financial flexibility that you have going forward. And if these transfers are continuing to be needed for the water and sewer fund, that's only going to continue to drive reserves down. If we turn to the next page on slide 4, this is just a little bit on your revenue and expenditure trends. So property taxes are the most reliable and stable source that a local government can have. And you can see here, when you look at where you were in 2017 versus 2021, the percentage that property taxes take up of the total revenue budget actually has decreased. It used to represent about 75%, but that has declined to about 71%. In addition, property taxes have only grown about 1.8% over the last 5 years, so very minimally. And at the same time, the town's two largest expenditures, community development and public safety, they've grown at about 15.5% over the same time period. So they are outpacing that growth that you're seeing in property taxes. While the town has a history of budgeting conservatively, which is a positive, the town has usually built in a contingency to offset any sort of unexpected budgetary impacts. But if you look at the chart below, you can see that this contingency in 22, it was about $52,000, is now about $11,000 in 2023. So that contingency that you've sort of innately built into your budget has decreased, which, you know, limits any sort of offset that might occur during the year of any, you know, revenues coming under budget or expenditures coming over budget. And given that this contingency has declined and that revenue growth, you know, has been quite, you know, modest, it could potentially mean that you might need additional fund balance to offset any sort of, you know, unexpected events that might come to terms in the budget over the next few years. So if we look at slide 5, you know, with this limited revenue growth that you're experiencing, the town has two choices. You can either cut expenditures or you can raise revenues to help ensure your healthy financial position and try and get you back in line with the policy that you adopted, the 15%. And so I know positively the town has made a lot of good efforts in cutting expenditures. You know, you've looked to outsource where you can, you know, cut where you can. So the additional expenditure cuts that you might be able to do might be limited given that you've already sort of looked to do a lot of this already. So in that case, you might have to look to revenue increases to, you know, offset this slow growth in revenues and to help offset any transfers that you've made to help build your reserves back up. You know, obviously you have some economic development projects of residential. I understand that might be happening. You know, the timing obviously is sort of unknown. So one way to sort of be proactive about this is to build a budget model, a long-term budget model. And you can sort of, you know, make different assumptions, see how your revenues are trending, see how your expenditures are trending, and then you can sort of see what any the budgetary gap might be there, and that allows you to sort of proactively plan, get a sense of what that gap is, where you know, how much you might need to cut expenditures or raise revenues to fill that gap, and try and maintain healthy reserves and get to that 15% policy. In addition to the 15% policy that you had, we just had some additional recommendations for your consideration. One would be to maybe adjust the policy to not only to have a 15% floor, but then a 17% you know, upper threshold. That way it's in line with the industry standard. The extra 2% that you would add could act as a budget stabilization reserve. So if you had any fluctuations in any given year, you could use that 2% that you might save to help offset any fluctuations. The 15% reserve, we would also say, adding some additional language. So looking at the additional 2% as a budget stabilization reserve, you could look at the 15% as sort of a rainy day fund, sort of like your last resort for extreme one-time items or other events. And I think putting some wording around that and sort of fleshing that out would be important because it provides council, you know, obviously there's changes in council that happen, you know, occasionally. And so putting that in the policy sort of helps guide, you know, not only this council but future councils as to, you know, what can these different reserves be used for and when. And finally, the other aspect of a policy that we typically see for local governments is having a plan. So if you fall below your 15% policy, how do you replenish it to the 15%? So usually what the industry GFOA, which is sort of an industry standard for local governments, recommends is that you establish a plan once you fall below the 15% policy. And then you have a time period. Usually it's 2 to 3 years. We're recommending 3 years of how to get back to that, you know, lower threshold in that policy. So before we go on to the water and sewer, I'm happy to take any questions that you may have on the general fund, and then we can go.
I do have a question. So with the solar coming online, will that help offset? Like, I know we're selling the solar credits, but we also, like, the electric bills for the water and sewer that we've have been having to transfer out of the general fund to help cover water and sewer, will that help offset some of that?
It's one of the efficiencies. I mean, we don't have an awful lot on the efficiency side.
Right.
But a reduction in the salt and the electric bills generated by the solar panels was promoted by the engineer at about $160,000 a year.
Okay.
The sale of the SREC, the solar credit, at 1,100 credits. Well, last year we produced 1,300. So, it, and that's a fixed rate set by the Public Utilities Commission. So, you know, we can't really take that into a market and try and squeeze another penny out of its fixed rate. So we'll get what we'll get per unit for those, but we're generating more units. That's designated to go and pay for the water tank maintenance. Otherwise, we're trying to find water tank maintenance money out of the rates.
Right, okay.
Which we can't fit. And the other efficiency is going to be on the water meters, which are going to generate more revenue because they'll catch what's been 98.5% industry standard of what's been produced anyway. So if people cut back on their usage to offset their own bill, that'll impact the revenue. Usage is static, and we're collecting 98% instead of 81%, then you'll see a net benefit there. They've said that, Davey and Ferguson have said that we're probably looking at anywhere between 17 and 22% revenue increase, assuming the same amount of water used. Again, if people start cutting back on their water usage, different story.
Right.
But you really can't factor in too much, you know, personal behavior. So I would budget that static and let's see what the returns start looking like. At least for those first two quarters anyway. And then
right.
If we need to adjust, you know, we're going to go through at least most of fiscal year 23-24 within the water meters. But I don't know if we're going to start with the first quarter might not be in the water meters. So again, we're going to budget those revenues static and let's see what happens.
Okay. Thank you.
So the next section focuses on the Water and Sewer Fund, and as I mentioned before, obviously the General Fund has made transfers to the Water and Sewer Fund to help with their finances over the last 2 years, and that's something, you know, so obviously these two funds are tied. If you look at page 7, you can see a 5-year historical for the Water and Sewer Fund. And you can see that while the net position of the Water and Sewer Fund has increased by about 3.5% over this time frame, this was primarily driven by a $1.7 million in intergovernmental revenues received in 2021. And if you exclude that one-time intergovernmental revenue figure, then actually the net position would have declined about 10.4%. And this is really sort of shown, like, if you look at expenditures, they've grown at about 30% over the last 5 years, and while revenues have declined by about 5.7%. And in a few slides, you'll see that this has ultimately caused a significant decline in the town's water and sewer cash position. And, you know, obviously, we can talk about rates, but this is really, you know, if you look at just the water service and, you know, sewer service charges, there hasn't been a rate increase since 2018. And so I think that's, you know, that's really part of the issue that's driving, you know, the decrease in the net position. On 8, we here is just looking at budget actuals for both the revenues and expenditures in both the water fund and the sewer fund. For the water fund, revenues have come on average about 5.1% under budget. But on the expenditure side, about almost 19% under budget. So on the water side, the conservatism of the expenditures coming in under has sort of helped to offset the water revenues, you know, coming in under. However, when you look at the sewer fund, both the revenues are coming about 19% under, whereas the expenditures are actually coming 13% over. And what this has caused is there's really been a net loss in the sewer fund in the last four of the last 5 years. And the only reason that there was positive net income is really because of this $1.7 million that you all received in 2021. Otherwise, there would have been a loss in all 5 years for the sewer fund. So then on slide 9, this is just looking at the budget. So for, this is looking at 22 and 23, between the two budgets, revenues have increased about 4.8%, despite rates remaining flat. In addition, as we talked about on the last slide, revenues have historically ended under budget. You know, growing the budget by 4.8% with no rate increases and a historical that's ended under budget, you know, that sort of could potentially, you know, set you up as, you know, revenues continue to sort of end up below that point. Expenditures, on the other hand, are expected to decline by 2%. And you can see that historically sewer expenditures have ended over budget. So just something to take a look at. A positive, though, is that you do have this sort of operating budget contingency that you've built in here. So you can see on that last line, the operating surplus deficit, you know, you built in about $20,000 in 22. There's about $142,000. So that gives you a little bit more flexibility to offset that, but the fact that expenditures are growing so rapidly while revenues are not, given that there hasn't been a rate increase, will continue to put pressure on this fund. So if we turn to TED, these are two key ratios that the industry really looks at. The first is debt service coverage, and so this is really looking at for your net revenues, which is basically taking your operating revenues, taking away expenditures, and then adding back in depreciation, how much can those net revenues cover debt service? And so you can see here that usually we'd like to see at least one time. So if you see 1.00 in the debt service coverage ratio, that means that your net revenues are covering your debt service. So we would consider the fund self-supporting. It wouldn't need any sort of outside support. And you can see that actually what has happened as net revenues have decreased and debt service has remained stable is that we went from a debt service coverage ratio of 1.31 in 2017 to about 0.74. So this fund would not be considered self-supporting. It's not able to support the, you know, ultimately, you know, the debt service that is within with the net revenues that it's producing. The other metric that we look at, and this is kind of what I spoke to earlier, is days cash on hand. And this really gauges the flexibility to pay near-term obligations. And this is, you know, very concerning because if you look from 2017 to 2021, you went from days cash on hand of about 248 days to 7 days, so about a week's worth of operations. And the industry standard for days cash on hand is actually between 30 and 90 days, so you fall well below that 30 to 90 day period. So in terms of recommendations for the Water and Sewer Fund of 11, even with this significant decline in both debt service and the cash position, it would be our recommendation for you to hire a third party to do a rate study. There are multiple firms that are out there that do this on a regular basis, and basically what they would come in, they would assess the system, figure out what, you know, rates would need to be adopted over the next few years to sort of get you back to that self-supporting status, build that cash position, and not necessarily need those transfers from the general fund. Because as we talked about with the general fund, while they've helped out the Water and Sewer Fund over the last 2 years, you know, that is not, you know, you can only do that for so much time because your general fund is already below its policy. So there's only, as we talked about, fund balance in the general fund is a finite resource. It's eventually going to be spent, and then you'll have an issue in the general fund as well as the Water and Sewer Fund. The other thing is, in addition to the long-term budget model on the general fund, including the Water and Sewer Fund on that general long-term budget model would also be helpful to be able to proactively see where those gaps might be and then, you know, come up with, you know, ideas of how to sort of, you know, get back to that self-supporting status. You know, once the rate study is complete and, you know, a rate plan has been established, the other part is adopting policies to help keep, you know, once you reach that, to help keep you basically in good fiscal health. And so our recommendation would be to adopt a debt service coverage calculation, which would be, as we talked about, 1x the self-supporting. So giving yourselves a little bit of flexibility there. So 1.2 is what we usually see. So just slightly above. And then for days cash on hand, we would recommend sort of 90 days for days cash on hand policy. And these are typical policies that are adopted by other water and sewer funds. So with that, before I go on to the debt section, I just wanted to open it up to questions if anyone had any.
Larry, we don't know how much of a change it's going to be here once we get these meters, new meters installed.
Over time, again, it's that ballpark of 14-15% to about 20-22%. Again, that anticipates that people use it remains the same.
Right.
And also, it's the static development, and that's what we're working against, whether it's water and sewer revenues or whether it's property tax. Development's out there on the horizon,
but
it's just not happening.
Yes.
So when some of the development finishes out in the industrial park, you know, we'll see some more on the tax roll. When the townhouses are done, we'll see some more on the tax roll, as well as water and sewer bills. So again, there's some bright news on the horizon, but outside of having a model, we can't necessarily say we're going to book that in 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other bright on what I'm sure we're going to get to now is that debt starts to drop off in about 4 or 5 years. So, you know, we might see some more revenues coming up, ticking up in the not too distant future, and for sure, assuming we don't incur more debt. I'm not asking for more debt. Nobody's going to be bringing more debt here. You're going to start seeing that debt service drop below 750,000 ballpark to like 400,000 ballpark, and then down to about 300,000 ballpark. So, freeing up $400,000 in debt for the town is actually a step in the right direction, but that's not happening tomorrow either.
So, would it be wise to wait on a third party to conduct?
No, I think you need a rate study sooner rather than later.
Do you? Okay. Yeah.
What was the 1.7 in 2021?
I'm thinking most of it is Old Denton Road, which was a water and sewer fund. I mean, that was a bond issue. And then what else did we have coming in? I was trying to think exactly what that rest of that bond was.
I can't think off the top of my head.
But that's the intergovernmental. It's not the ARPA. I mean, some of it was the ARPA, but not really, because you know we didn't put the ARPA towards utility. We put the ARPA in its own fund. So while we do have, and I don't know what the ARPA factors in on cash on hand, because we do have it sitting in a separate account waiting for some products to get it done.
No, it's whatever is just in the water and sewer fund.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the infusion with other people's money is the point. That's what we always are. The same thing with the cash on hand is what hurts us on our cash flow. Because when we're waiting for reimbursements, you know, $150,000 on a reimbursement for a capital project,
yeah.
When you got 7 days cash on hand, exactly.
Yeah, no. And that's when the transfers from the general fund come, and then that hurts the general fund. So it's sort of all connected. And I think, you know, as Larry mentioned, I think sooner rather than later for the third-party study would definitely be beneficial in order to sort of gauge where you are and where you might need to be to get the water and sewer fund back to financial health.
And the bright side on the debt service ratio,
yep.
This is the stuff we were dealing with last summer with Mr. Fretwell, well, summer of 2021 with Mr. Fretwell for the Old Denton Road bond. It was all this business of being less than one, and NDE prefers 1.2. So, knowing that we were going to have the solar panels come on, which was going to reduce the operational of the sewer fund anyway, and that the AMI water meters were going to increase the revenues on the water side, that those 4 years of like 0.7, 0.8 went up just by way of a spike to about 1.4. Now, that spike's not there anymore. So if you carry this out two more years, you're going to see those old numbers, 0.7, 0.8, about 1.4, and then probably back down about 0.8, which is, if I was a betting man, I'd say that's probably where we are today. We're bringing in 80 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
And we need to be bringing in more than a dollar on the dollar. Otherwise, we're borrowing from the general fund and not being able to pay the general fund back.
Yeah.
Deficit spending.
So if we move on to 13, this just gives an overview of the tax-supported debt, which is paid out of the general fund. So as Larry just mentioned, you can see here, particularly in the chart, that you have this significant debt service drop, about a 75% decline in 2029. And so that will free up, some revenue in the general fund in 2029. But until then, trying to get the general fund into fiscal health, meeting that 15% policy will, definitely be important. And it's going to be tough given that you've made a lot of expenditure cuts and outsourcing already, while there's still pressure on the water and sewer fund as well. If we turn to 14, you can see that the existing water and sewer fund debt service here, and you can see that there are two drops, a small one, about $95,000 drop that comes in 2028, and then about another $162,000 decline in 2029. So in that 2028-29 time frame, that's really when you're going to get a drop in debt. If you don't issue any additional debt in the meantime, you on both the water and sewer and general fund side. But as I mentioned, until then, there's still going to be this pressure, especially if rates don't increase on the water and sewer side, and they're pressuring the general fund, and the general fund has property taxes that are growing at 1.8% when expenditures are growing, you know, significantly more. So two ratios that we typically look at to sort of assess debt in the industry. The first is debt to full value, and this really just measures your debt capacity or the question of can I borrow this? And so you can see that positively your debt to full value has been declining. And that's really because, you know, debt has matured and no additional tax-supported debt has really been issued. We would recommend establishing a policy to maintain the debt-to-full value at no more than 3%. That's in line with industry standard and provides flexibility for issuances. Now, you might say, you know, at 0.86, this seems high, but it's actually, if you turn the page, debt service to expenditures, this is really sort of out of the two metrics that tends to be more restrictive. And this measures debt affordability. Can I afford this? And, you know, while this measure has decreased in 20 and 21, it's still near the industry standard of 10 to 12%. You can see at 21, you're about 9%. So there's not a lot of give there. There's not a lot of room to really, you know, aside from the budgetary pressures, that are already existing, there's not a lot of room there in terms of debt affordability for additional debt. So we would also recommend that you adopt a policy of 10 to 12% to make sure that, there's some sort of guidelines there for any future debt that might be coming down to make sure that you protect the financial health of the town. The other debt ratio that we look at is fixed cost burden, 0.17, and this measures financial flexibility again. So this sort of builds on debt service to expenditure. So fixed cost includes not only debt service, but also pension and OPEB. But positively, the town doesn't offer other employment benefits, so that is a positive. So the higher this ratio, the less financial flexibility a government has for other operating needs. Typically, you know, the industry likes to see this below 25%. And you can see here that you've ranged somewhere between, you know, 15 and almost 19%. So you're below the 25% target. You have declined since 2017 just due to reduced debt service costs. And so this would be another policy that we would recommend that you look at and consider just to make sure that you maintain your financial flexibility. On 18, we're just talk quickly about future capital needs. We know that there's $2.6 million in projects included in the 23 budget, but there's no plans to issue additional debt. You all have historically funded capital based off of the receipt of state and federal funding. The projects here will be cash funded. Obviously, we've talked about, you know, there's not really the ability to issue debt in the near term just given the financial position that the town, finds it in. But, you know, I think adopting those policies that we just talked about will sort of give you guidelines and benchmarks to work off of going forward. So in terms of recommendations on 19, we've already talked about the policies, in conjunction with long-term budget model, looking at a long-term capital improvement plan is also important. So looking at all of the projects that you would like, to do in the future and sort of, putting them in priority order so you can sort of see that when you do have the funds or the ability to finance, either through state or federal grants or otherwise, you have an idea of what the town is looking at from a capital improvement standpoint. In terms of refunding opportunities, so refundings are, looking at your outstanding debt and seeing if we can exchange it for a lower interest rate. And right now, just given on current market interest rates, while municipal rates have been going down, and we'll continue to monitor, it doesn't look like the town has the ability to refund any debt at this point. But we'll certainly keep looking because that can be a way to save on debt service costs, because when you exchange for a higher interest rate for a lower interest rate, just like when you refinance a mortgage, there's going to be savings there, annual budgetary savings. The one thing that could be a potential is, and not guaranteed, is that the town could consider is you have about just over $2 million of this CDA bonds that you issued in 2015. So these bonds were issued for water and sewer purposes originally with a 20-year term. And given that they are issued for water and sewer projects, technically the useful life of those projects is most likely longer than 20 years. I mean, usually for water and sewer, we've had other issuers issue for 30 years because the infrastructure lasts for more than 20 years. And so you'd have lower debt service payments, you know, for a 30-year versus 20. Obviously, you might pay more in interest, but it gives you some additional budgetary flexibility. One thing that we could potentially look into to see if it would be a possibility is maybe extending, basically restructuring that debt and extending it by 30 years. But we'd have to talk to CDA about whether that would even be a potential possibility, because it would have to be done in the public market. You know, you couldn't go to a bank and ask them to extend it by 30 years, because banks usually will only give you a term, if you're lucky, up to 20 years maybe, but usually it's somewhere in the 10 to 15 range. The other option for public, aside from CDA, would be for you all to issue your own bonds, but given where you are fiscally, both on the general fund and the water and sewer fund, you'd have to go get a credit rating, and just to be honest, the credit rating would not be it would not be beneficial. Just because I think, you know, they'd look at where you were on both of those sides. And so looking at CDA would be really the only option. And that could potentially give you a little bit of flexibility depending on how rates play out and if CDA was willing to do that. So that's just something that, you know, we could potentially consider to give a little bit of flexibility in the meantime. So that leads us really to next steps. You know, in January, happy to follow up on any questions tonight and afterwards if you have any on any of these, you know, either this or the longer presentation that we've provided you. In February, March, you know, if the town council wants, we're happy to help with a long-term budget model and then ultimately draft any policies that you might be agreeable or want to put into place. So however we can help, we're certainly here. We do not do third-party rate studies, but we can certainly give you names of companies that do that. But that really concludes what I had, at least in the executive summary. But again, happy to take any questions that you may have.
I thought this was very good. Thank you for putting it all together. It's certainly nice to see it all in print. Not nice, but you know, you need to know it. So, you know, it gives you a whole picture of where we are, and I like that it's a comprehensive picture of where we are and where we're trying to get to. And I guess all of the stuff that is on for the outstanding debt page, like where it lists all of our loan in the detailed one,
mm-hmm.
Some of them are old. We've been, I guess, carrying that. And then there's the asterisk for the table does not include the Maryland pension obligation. So where does that fit in so that is on page 27 on this one. I was just curious as to.
Yeah, I think the Maryland pension obligation, I think you switched to the state system. And at that point, I think there was, I think it's a liability on, and you pay a certain amount each year. Larry, you can correct me, but
right. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's technically not debt, but it's a long-term liability that's out there.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
27, is it?
Oh, it's in the thick one.
Oh,
it's in the financial review, the comprehensive one, because I was wondering what totaled all the debt and
yes.
What each, and it lists like what each line is as far as what the debt is and when it pays off and when it started, when the debt was occurred. So.
Yeah, and as I said, we'll keep an eye on, you know, some of these that have higher interest rates. If rates continue to sort of tick down, we'll definitely keep an eye on it because You know, some of these that have shorter maturities, you know, you could look to do something through a bank potentially in terms of rural funding. But, you know, as I said, it really just has to, it depends on where the market goes from here. So we'll just continue to monitor those opportunities.
Okay. Does anybody have any other questions?
If I could, I think I have a better answer on the intergovernmental. We have to go back and see the fiscal year for sure. But the solar panel project was, what, two fiscal years, if not three? Mm-hmm. So that was a $2 million project coming and going.
Mm-hmm.
So my bet is the lion's share of that rested at $1.1
million
is the solar panel, is the coming and going of the solar panel money. So, which is just passed through.
We financed the bonds a few years ago, probably 10 or 12 years ago, and I reached out to Charlie Day from CBA, and we were able to refinance again.
We weren't eligible?
We were not.
Okay. And they were last refinanced when?
I'm not 100% sure. It's been at least 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I think Bill was in office when we did. I'm not 100% sure, but it's been a while ago.
Okay.
I'm 100% sure.
Sir?
I'm 100% sure.
That's when you tried to do it before when? Okay.
Mm-hmm. They let us do it once, but we weren't eligible to do it again.
Okay, recently. Mm-hmm. We weren't, okay. Probably because of all this. Okay, all right. Well, we are where we are, and all we can do is move forward, so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, now rolling into the fiscal year 2023-24 budget overview. On the heels of that.
Sorry.
Right, Madam Mayor, I'll just get my bullets up here for the benefit of our audience. But this is the non-number version of the budget. It's the budget overview. So staff does this about this time every year as the departments are pulling together their budget, just to give the big picture of what it is we're looking at. And there were a few things to consider, one of which is staff's goal is to get the mayor and council a balanced budget draft document on by Friday, March 31st. And then we'll have a budget workshop in May to make it all work. You can do with lines what staff has otherwise done with lines. Just some things about the big picture. We look for some operational efficiencies. So whether those are through technology or outsourcing, we've made some steps in past years. But we're running out of steps to take there. We've outsourced trash, which has saved the town money. We've outsourced building inspection, which has saved the town some money. We've used efficient technology for the sake of efficiencies on water meters. And water meters really are, you know, each individual water meter is its own cash register in its own way. And the solar fund, and the solar panel. So there have been some steps in the right direction, but the water meters and solar are both capital intensive, and at least we've got the ARPA to be able to do some pay-as-you-go. So instead of either incurring more debt or trying to cash flow, trying to win a grant for the funds and then trying to cash flow it again. So ARPA's is eventually going to run out. We've got our capital projects, including in this budget for ARPA, which are the water meters, assuming the water meters don't go over into another year, and the street paving, which will go over into another year. So having said that, here are some things we're also looking at. The town marina and waterfront assets are a loss leader. This is the middle of the top of the first paragraph. The only source of revenue from maintenance is the town general fund, and all those facilities have a good deal of free riders who come elsewhere who aren't contributing to the tax base who use the facility. And it's great that they use the facility, but the wear and tear is not offset by anything other than the general fund to do maintenance and repairs and upkeep and pay the rental for the porta potty, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we don't have a wharfage. We don't have slips that we rent. We're not treating the waterfront as an enterprise fund. So everything along the waterfront, which is an asset, is also a free rider on the general fund, which is to say it puts wear and tear on the general fund and doesn't necessarily contribute anything back. And that's just life. We just have to live with it. That's the way it currently is. There's no means for a special tax or permits or anything like that, so we've got that. And that just needs to be put out there as perpetually a thing. We're anticipating some revenue projections. We'll know the state share revenues probably by April, if not May. So that'll show us what our highway user revenues are. For example, upside, we'll be using some ARPA money for pay-as-you-go. Most of the highway user fund pays off bond debt. So the lion's share of that is eaten before anybody has a chance to fix the street with it. And explains why the conditions are more strenuous. So that's where we are. We'll know some of those revenues. The draft budget will be very conservative on what it is. Well, as we go, it'll be very, very conservative as to what it is we're looking at. One of the things as a budgeting approach in years past, especially on the utility side, budgeting has been done with budgeted numbers and not actual numbers. We need to get away from that. We started getting away from that on the general fund side, at least with repairs of the transfer, which always seemed to be budgeted at $9,000, and the expenditures were always somewhere between 12 and 20. Well, no point putting a $9,000 budget in there, budget line, when you know next year you're going to be spending 15 on repairs. For 1 year, we spent 42 on repairs. So that $9,000 budget or the $12,000 budget line, you can't anticipate a $42,000 repair every year. But at the same time, when the trend is showing you that the actuals are higher than the budgeted, you got to get away from the budgeted number and you got to use the actual number. And if that inflates the budget line, at the end of the day, it inflates the budget line. Argue that's one of the things on the water and sewer side. Lion's share of all these fund transfers has been repairs. It's been because we've been out of a regular maintenance program. And whatever had to be done with staff after the outside contractor managed the plant, those were unbudgeted expenditures. Christmas Day, we got hit with a $32,000 on budget expenditure on the water side. Now, that's an old system that breaks down, and we haven't had a maintenance program to address some of those things, the pump station. So that's where we are. So if you're wondering, why is all this money flying out the general fund and over to the water and sewer fund? Because the water and sewer systems are old and breaking down. The project pursuit's been for other things. I know we pursued pump stations over the years and haven't been successful. We'll keep at it. But if that's anywhere between $2.2 and $4.1 million, that has to be other people's money and it has to be funded, practically 100% at this point. So, big picture.
Was that $32,000 for Christmas Day?
That's correct.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Yep, one broken water line. That was $32,000. Flowing down the street. So, and disruption to a lot of people. Christmas dinner, I understand.
If it had not have been that cold, I would have let it continue to run until
it was
Monday. I'm just saying, if it had not have caused an ice rink and a safety nightmare, I would have let it run.
Absolutely. So, the operational departments continue to work on their budgets. Bottom half of page one, big picture priorities are always, of course, compliance with the various state and federal obligations. The town puts expectations for obligation on our residents. The state and federal government put obligations on us, so we'll meet those. Facilities and capital upkeep
maintenance and upkeep. Most of that's been grant funded, but not all of it. So we always have to balance that out. Next one, personnel, and again, outside of debt. So every year we start our budget, $750,000 or $760,000 in the hole to pay our debt. Then we get to our people, and then we have a list over we left over. We actually run a government. So employee salary, compensation, development. As we'll see, and just the big picture is full compensation aligns with the grade and step salary that the mayor and council have adopted, and it's tied to performance. So that's not unknown. Nothing special about that. Fund balance level and reserves, we've talked about that and what the GFOA level is, the 2-month standard, and, you know, again, the graph speaks for itself. We haven't been there. So what's left is we get to community amenities and quality of life, which is parks, trails, open spaces. Really don't pay for themselves, but it's what government does. We provide it. So that remains a priority. Having said all that, what does the 23-24 budget look like at this point? All debt service obligations, and that includes all funds, principal and interest, our vehicles through Enterprise, $774,129.81, and everyone has been paid on time. We've not missed a payment, correct? Mm-hmm. So, again, in our cash flow world, we spirit away all this stuff. This way it doesn't interfere with, and again, it's one of the things helps keep that cash on, keep that cash on hand number low, because we know we have to spend it out.
Yeah.
Now, 7 days is not acceptable for anyone. I can sleep at 60. I can sleep at 45. Shouldn't sleep at 45. I should sleep at 90. But I can sleep for about a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to get better than 7. What we're looking at is non-residential tax increase revenue enhancement through the sale of 115-117 North Main Street building, or building across the street. If that doesn't happen this fiscal year, it'll happen next fiscal year. And the same thing with the cell tower lease. So those are one-time assets. You sell them one time. You lock them up, put them away, and don't touch them. Or if you're going to touch them, you have a policy that says when you touch them and how you put the money back. So that will at least, again, give us some measure of cushion and build some reserves up again. The cell tower lease generates $15,100 a year by way of rent, which, if we were in a different situation, would be okay. But if we're looking at, above $250,000 or $270,000 to sell the lease, there's no point we don't sell the lease. I can't tell you that that's a smart financial move anymore. You know, we take $15,000 and leave $270,000 on the table. Anticipating modest increases in the tax base as several ongoing projects near completion. Perhaps that's this upcoming fiscal year, or perhaps that drags on again. No proposed new taxes or proposed increases in current taxes, utility rates, or fees. And I may need to go back and consider fees. But I'm not anticipating any of the taxes or any increase in the current taxes. Again, we'll see an incremental growth, and if we have some discipline, and not too many repair surprises, then that incremental growth should be okay, considering where we're cutting elsewhere. Sewer rates will likely need to be watched closely to account for system costs and to close or reduce the structural deficit and stop end the required transfer from the general fund over to the sewer fund. No new staff positions are proposed, and no existing positions are proposed to be eliminated. Staffing levels remain static. Replacement for positions lost through retirement, separation, and attrition. That's it. Somebody retires, we fill the hole. Somebody leaves, we fill their space. But we can't afford to add people. Just can't. And this level of service that may be beneficial to add people, I can't find the money to do it. employee cost of living increase of 2.5%, which is below the 2022 National Consumer Price Index growth. So note, since January 2021, the CPI has increased 16%, meaning employees like ours who have not received 17% increase are in fact working at a pay cut. And we just have to acknowledge that. Pending satisfactory employee performance, the grade level adjustments we made to people's salary this year. So again, after our debt service, the biggest cost is people. I continue to hold February and March all staff furlough days as a budgetary consideration. If need be, and we all wind up with a 64-hour work week or pay period, it's not ideal. It's not what anybody wants. But again, when our cost is people, we have to consider things like furlough days to keep the cost of our people costs down. The vehicles acquired through the adopted lease agreement with Enterprise, this has been a good step for us because we don't have the cash on hand to actually go and buy vehicles. So the alternative is the dreaded USDA grants and loans, and that's basically a 50-50. $60,000 police cruiser, we continue to get another $30,000 in debt. And all we do is keep rolling that $30,000 in debt for every new car. We keep them forever. It depreciates down to nothing. So by the time we get rid of it, compared to the lease agreement where we turn them over every 3 years, where it still has value. Turn them back to Enterprise, we get a new car, and continue to pay a lease agreement on it. It's a smarter move than the alternative if we can't pay as we go, and we can't pay as we go. Or not do a new car every year anyway. So that's where we are with vehicles. The police department's making good use of federal funding, grant funding for the camera surveillance. The full implementation of the building permitting and code enforcement software will increase their efficiency or Nate's efficiency, as well as the benefit for our residents and town contractors. So that's a step in the right direction. The sale of the solar renewable energy credits is approximately $55,000 a year. That's a revenue stream that pays for the water tank maintenance program. The AMI water meters will be fully operational at some point during fiscal year 23-24, and capturing an estimated 98.5% of the water that's used. The capital maintenance program for both town water tanks is paid for thanks to the solar credits. Capital projects approved prior to June 30th of this calendar year will be complete. We'll talk about two of those in a minute, or when this is done. But there's others that are out there, and that's where staff is pursuing both in funding from the state and through federal earmarks, and those include the sewer pump station, which we funded through NDE revolving loans and revolving funds. That deadline is at the end of this month. We're also pursuing federal earmarks for that. Local street paving, funded through federal earmarks for that. Chambers Lake Dam, at least the structural study and the scope of work, staff's pursuing NDE funding, or more optimistically, the FEMA brick program, which has this particular pot of money specifically for dams. Don't know how many dam applications they're going to get this year, but they're going to get ours. Engineer and I have already had this discussion. We have to increase budgeted costs anywhere from municipal elections, not knowing what our election situation is going to look like after July 1. Or how many elections we're going to need to have. At minimal cost, right side, last two bullet points, right side, at minimal cost, we'll complete the Maryland Clean Marina designation. So that's Nate Newsom and I. And then we'll complete the Sustainable Maryland certification sometime during the fiscal year as well. Again, fiscal year, here we are, what is the 17th of January, 23. Talking about June 30th, 2024. So those are all by way of bright side. But again, there's the last page attachment to this is the debt service comes out of debt books, which has come in handy And you can see, you know, we've got debt extended out to year 2049. So it's low debt, but again, it's debt extended out to 2049. And that's just our situation. But again, bright side is 2028 to 2029 is a substantial reduction of our debt obligation, assuming we don't incur more debt. So that's where we are as far as what the big picture of the budget looks like.
All right. Anybody have any questions on that?
Could you repeat it?
Yeah.
Where are we with the cell tower sale?
I'm talking to one of the interested parties on Friday.
Okay.
To renew and wet everyone's whistle again and renew their interest, which they've maintained their interest in all fairness.
Yeah. That's good.
So
I did some quick math, which might not be right.
Right. Sorry, we got a math person here.
But if we're at 11% fund balance and we want to get to 15, my math says we need to add about just shy of $98,000. And if we want to get to 17, we need to add just shy of $147,000. So the cell tower lease could do that in one fell swoop.
Yeah, but the both of them combined would, I mean, you know, well, I don't want to spook a deal, but I mean, we're talking probably in the $350,000 range. One time sale of assets needs to get put away, either for one time expenditure, which I'm not encouraging, or locked away for reserves, mm-hmm. which I am encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But our total, if we had 17%, if we have 270 right now, and we add one, let's just say 150 to it, we're looking at, we need to have about $420,000 in reserves.
Ballpark.
Okay.
Ballpark. And again, the sale of the assets gets us there. And again, there's other nickel and dime. We talked about this in the past, but the lawyer's been on me. The nickels and dimes we can have at our yard sale, mm-hmm. you know, which will pick this up, pick that up, pick the other thing up, sell a bunch of, you know, old vehicles for, you know, 10, 11 grand.
Still got them three lots on University that can be sold. Who I was told, a gentleman that lives there might be interested if we decide to do something with them.
Yeah. So again, that's, you know, we should be collecting taxes, not rents. So again, yeah, I mean, you know, the sale of capital assets. Nobody wants to do it, but when you're in a situation where you have to build your reserve and you've got it sitting there, why sell 15 grand a year when you can?
No, yeah, absolutely.
You know, settle 280 and then just lock it away.
Yeah, but those three lots that Scott's talked about, we kicked that can down the road for, I know, 10 years. And, I mean, and none of them are buildable. They're just too small. So, you know, we need to do something about that.
Yeah. All righty. We have nothing else, and we'll move on to the next one for Marina Park Wetlands Project Request for Proposals.
Madam Mayor, the Council, and we're fortunate to have our friend Jeff from GMB Engineers here. We had an opportunity to speak on this on Friday, and this past Friday, and also to consider some contractors who may be interested, which is again beneficial. This is a grant-funded project, completely funded to the tune of $174,997. There's a town contribution of $500, so anytime I can get a 35-to-1 rate, I'll take it. $35 to $1 of mine, I'll take it. But that's the bright side. It's got to get done by December 31st, 2023, and it really is a warm weather project. So staff is bringing the proposal for the RFP, the invitation to bid for your review, consideration, and ideally staff recommends approval. The scope of work literally was cut and pasted from the DNR scope of work document, and I can't improve on what it is DNR has already asked for. Yeah, as the attachment there. So you can see what a green and blue infrastructure approach. This isn't any hardened structures. Nothing is actually going to be built, for lack of a better word. But we'll have some swales. We'll have some plantings. We'll have 4/10 of an acre of wetlands added. So all this is for the purpose of stormwater management. We'll have a bunch of trees planted. All this by way of stormwater management, which helps reduce the non-point runoff, non-point source runoff, nitrogen and phosphorus from.
This was just basically going to be a stormwater pond for that stream that's coming underneath.
And more trees, and a constructed wetland area. So it's to trap more root system,
right,
to trap more water. And ideally, nobody goes and mows it. Our staff or well-meaning others.
That'll also help with our Sustainable Maryland certification.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
There's that.
Yeah. I don't have it in front of me. The nutrient load reduction is not insignificant considering what it is.
All right. Any other questions on that? Okay, next we have the 115-117 North Main Street project request.
Can you approve that, please?
Oh, yeah, okay. So, we thought we were right off that. That's out on the street. Can we get a motion to approve the request for proposals?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the request for proposals for the Marina Stormwater Project.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion passes. All right, put it out on the street, Larry.
All right, we'll do. Madam Mayor of the Council, the RFP for the improvements to the town hall building at 115-117 North Main Street. This has been ongoing for a number of years, both calendar and fiscal. The project needs to be completed by June 30th of this year. We did have a professional appraisal done. We also had the town's contract building inspector provide information about the condition of the building and some things that need to be repaired. That was all discussed at the last meeting. So from that list and our discussion of the last meeting, staff's pulled together the scope of work. It's what we can get done, and it has a firm budget not to exceed $92,000. So again, staff recommends that the scope of work and the bid proposal be approved and advertised, of course, pending further discussion from Mayor and Council and direction to staff.
I mean, this pretty much prioritizes everything that we went off that list.
Mm-hmm.
So to try to get it repaired,
mm-hmm,
and get it in a usable, safe state. So I don't have anything else to add to it. Do you guys, if you don't have any other comments, then we'll take a motion to approve the RFP go out for construction services for 115 to 117 North Main.
I made that motion that the RFP go out for 115 to 117.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion passes. All right, next we have Mayor and Council action items. Councilman Windsor.
I was in Denton the other day, and I just stopped in and talked to Tracy Snyder at Chamber of Commerce, and she said if I would take back any upcoming events, she would gladly promote it if she knew in advance. So she just asked if we could let her know. That's it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. I think she's already started. We posted all of our, I spent yesterday posting the 4 bicentennial events on Facebook, and
mm-hmm,
she messaged Councilwoman Sewell and said,
yeah,
I'm on it. I'll start sending them out. So
good.
That's perfect. Thank you, Councilwoman Sewell.
The only thing I have is that we have the upcoming CAM meeting on February 8th in Greensboro, and I think Christy and Larry and you and I can receive the email, but I don't think any of the gentlemen up here did. They weren't on, at least from what I can tell, they weren't on the email list. So I just wanted to make sure they knew about it. And they're asking for people to RSVP by January 25th.
It's February 6th.
Yes.
Yes.
In Greensboro.
Yes.
At the Volunteer Fire Company.
Councilman Phillips?
No, just make a comment about our police and what they go through on a daily basis. If any of y'all watched the video, you saw, you know, we need to keep them in our thoughts very often because a routine stop turned very serious very quickly the other day. And, you know, I just appreciate what they do with very little respect, I think, sometime in the public. So
I would agree.
That's all.
We're very lucky that that did not turn out worse than it was. Thank you. Councilman Willoughby?
I just want to just a comment about the presentation this evening. That, you know, when we first started talking about ARPA, we said we were going to go through a comprehensive financial review. I think when you start to look at where we are as a town, you know, we're 5.5-ish million in debt carry load that we're carrying. But that is going to drop off. And we've not put new debt on, which is a good thing. But when and you hear sort of from the water and sewer side, the different transfers and things like that. So that when someone says, well, my friend lives in Hurlock, and here's their water bill. Why is ours so different? Well, we don't know what Hurlock's debt load is. Because the cost of actually getting the water to your faucet probably isn't very different. It's the debt that's being paid. The flip side of this, hopefully, is if we manage this debt and it continues to fall off, the debt service that's paid on those bills can reduce, which is a savings to every household that's out there. So, you know, you would love to be able to do everything if the money tree arrives. That's what we said before. If the money tree arrives, we can do anything we want to do, right? But with what we've got to prioritize. And ARPA money has allowed us to do a lot. But the big thing here is, you know, in 5 years, theoretically, none of us sitting up here could be here in 5 years, you know, with elections and things like that. But in 5 years, there's a considerable sum of money that on an annual basis, if new debt isn't added, gets added back in the general fund that allows that healthy financial growth to continue, more projects to be funded. And then in, what is it, 9 or 10 years, I think it drops again. So it's just one of those things to sort of take a look at. No one, thank you guys for being here tonight, but, you know, there's very few folks out here that are getting this information that really answers a lot of questions that, quite frankly, we've never done before because we had ARPA to pay for it. And that's, so this is one of those non-sexy steps forward that, you know, oh, great, you did a financial review. But it really does help you plan and understand and get a handle, because if not, we'd get a request for a project, we'd go borrow the money if we were able to borrow the money, and not up to the, you know, we would, this would just continue, and there would never be that light at the end of the tunnel. If there would be a light at the end of the tunnel, it would be a train. So thanks for Larry for the forethought of trying to organize this along with debt books so that we can forecast. And I think if there's a lesson to be learned here, it's we as a council have to toe the line. No matter how much we would like to do more, we've got to wait until the budget allows it, or there's grant funding that isn't local. So just, I think it just deserves to be said. So even though it's not a flashy headline, it's good work, and it helps inform what we do.
I agree. I think that was a good presentation, and it lets us see it. Maybe we can also take the opportunity. We'll need to start the PR campaign for the new water meter replacement. Maybe that's an opportunity to every resident will get a mailing, right? Maybe that's an opportunity to fold some of this information in about your water bill and why it is the way it is because of the debt service, to explain it so it gets to every resident, because every resident is going to get a notice about the water meter and how it's going to work and how the replacement is going to work and how you'll be able to monitor your bill and how your bill will probably go up because it's a lot more efficient and it's more accurate. So that'll be a PR campaign that we'll need to start and get online, and maybe part of this with that we can help educate so that they understand what it is and the cost of actually when you turn your water on or flush your toilet, what the cost really is incurred on the back end. So very good. Anything else? Thank you. So our bicentennial is in full swing. The events have been created on Facebook. If you can please like and share. So I created a Facebook page, Federalsburg 200 Years. We are attaching the events to that so we don't clutter our Facebook page. So if you can like and share the events so we can drive some people to that. We have a community meeting coming up the end of January to work on the festivities for the May 4th, which is the sturgeon reveal, and we're going to do like some kind of scavenger hunt, and then the big party on community party on May 20th on that Saturday. We have a lot going on that day. So the community group that is working on the planning will be meeting to discuss that. And I will be attending Governor Moore's inauguration tomorrow as a representative for the town of Federalsburg. So we're excited to see what happens and see how we'll move on from that. So that's all I have.
Are you still on the inside, or did they kick you out yet?
Well, nobody was on the inside, but I do have a seat. I have a reserved seat, so I just have to be escorted to my seat. So should be a great day. So other than that, I will take a motion to adjourn if nobody has anything else.
Great. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Right.